Welcome to Homeschool Insights, the show that brings you biblical homeschool encouragement in under 10 minutes. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton. Homeschool Insights is sponsored by CTC Math. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com and try it for free. Now on to the show.
Something that strikes me in your videos is it's so obvious that your passion, that what you do comes from a place of loving others. Well, first knowing that you're loved by God, and then just your rootedness in the Word. I mean, you know the Word, but then it always strikes me when you're asking people questions, which if we go back and Yvette says, if people haven't heard of Ray Comfort, you're living under a rock. But I would say most people probably have, if we describe you, you're the guy on the street that's talking to people, right? You're the guy that's sharing the gospel. That's who you are. And it comes from this place of loving others. And what you always say that strikes me is when you tell people, you know, like, does going to hell concern you? And then you always say, well, it concerns me because I love you. And that just really strikes me where you come from that place. And I think as homeschool moms who see this new influx of so many people coming into, quote unquote, our world, we need to just be filled with that same love that motivates you, that same love that comes from Christ. But the other thing that really stands out to me about the gift that God has given you, because it's clearly a gift, but we're all called to do it, is just the technique that you use in being able to probe people's hearts and ask them questions. And like Yvette kind of hit, she said, you know, we have this new movement of people coming to homeschool because they're seeking freedom. They acknowledge these principles that we know come from God, such as kids are designed uniquely. They need to be taught uniquely. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. Family is important. Like, they understand these concepts, and that's why they're doing it. But will you kind of just help us as moms that don't, maybe we're not gifted in the technique that you have, but we know that we're called to do it. How practically can we take the gospel message to the park days, to the co-op meetings, with the same love that you have, and practically point these women, these moms, to Christ in what they're doing?
Yeah, I have two big confidences when I go out to share the gospel. Oh, one is an extra one. That's my dog, Sam.
Oh, cute Sam. With the glasses.
I get a lot of mileage from him. We go past people, and women always call out, how cute, and I call out, so is the dog. Anyway.
No.
Yes, Sam is my icebreaker. I can just ride up to a group of bikers. I can ride up to a gang that I normally wouldn't be able to approach, any group of strangers with my dog wearing sunglasses, and I've got immediate friends. They just hang around. And you talked about love. Love is so powerful, and there's something that happens that is never on camera. Think, when I turn the camera off, often people won't leave. They hang around because they can feel the love, and that's what we've got as Christians, just the ability to let the love of Christ shine. Anyway, there are two very powerful principles that I use when I share the gospel. Number one is that I know every single sinner has a will to live. And number two is that I know he has a conscience, or she has a conscience. So let's look at the will to live, because that's incredibly powerful. If you watch our videos, you'll often see me say, are you afraid of dying? Mm-hmm. And people say no. And I say, of course you are. Everyone's afraid of dying. Someone's going to bury you 6 feet under the ground in a box. That should horrify you. There's something in you that says, I want to live, because you're not a dog, cat, cow, or horse. You're a human being made in the image of God. So when I say to someone, are you afraid of dying? And they say, yes. I say, it's haunting, isn't it? I'm quoting scripture. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 says, every human being, this is from the Amplified Bible, so I'll say it a little louder. Every human being is haunted by the fear of death all their lifetime. And it's so true. When I was a little kid, I used to play cowboys and Indians. I'd get shot, and I'd fall down for 10 seconds and get up and live again. And as I grew older, I began realizing there's a bullet heading for me, and I'm not going to get up again. I'm part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 will die. And so what I do is I tap into the will to live. And the reason I do that is because I know this person wants to live. Doesn't matter if they're an atheist, if they're antagonistic, when I say to them, did you realize the Old Testament says that God would destroy death and the New Testament tells us how he did it? Their eyes light up. I never heard that, because they're a human being. They want to live. Think for a moment of the thief on the cross. Let me just digress and then come back to the thief. He readily came to Christ. At one moment, he was railing against Jesus. He was antagonistic towards Christ. He blasphemed, from the scriptures say. Next minute, he was saying, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What happened? Digressing to poached eggs. Poached eggs are something that down under people do. We put eggs in water and boil them. Now, I've done that for years. It's obviously got to be a key to, for this body. I have toast and I put an egg on it. But when I boil the egg, fluff comes to the top. It's really annoying. I think it's the stuff that we use in meringues and stuff like that. It's just fluff. You can't do anything with it. So you have to scoop it off and you don't know what to do. You put it down the drain or whatever. But about 2 years ago, I put the lid on the fry pan for some reason. The thing heated up 10 times quicker and there was no fluff. There was just no fluff. The egg was nice and clean. What happened? It was the pressure that got rid of the fluff. Back to the thief on the cross. What was it that caused this man to change his mind about Jesus? We know that he was almost certainly a Jew because he was being crucified. We know that he had a will to live, that he had a knowledge of sin. He acknowledged he'd broken the eighth commandment. He was a thief. And he said to the other thief, we are here justly. I don't think he was talking about Roman crucifixion. He was saying that he had justly sinned against God and he deserved death. But we also know that he was pinned to the cross. His hands and his feet were on the cross. He knew he was going to die. And almost certainly within moments, the Romans would come and break his legs and he would suddenly be in eternity. That's what caused him to get rid of the fluff. That's what caused him to get rid of the things that didn't matter in life. When it comes to your death, it really doesn't matter comparatively who you marry or what you do for a vocation. What matters is what's going to happen to me after I die.
Right.
And we have the answer in Christ. We have the cure to the disease of death. The Bible says Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Therefore, we must be bold for the sake of the person. Think of a waitress. She's in a restaurant. She looks over and there's three businessmen come in wearing businessmen suits and holding little important suitcases. When they sit down, they open their cases and they're wheeling and dealing millions of dollars. Is she intimidated? Absolutely not. She just walks straight up and says, can I take your order? Why is she bold? Well, it's because she knows she has what they want, food. And so she's bold. And we have what we know the world wants. If only they knew that we had found everlasting life in Christ, they would certainly listen to us. Jesus told us that, or gave us that example in John chapter 4 with a woman at the well. He said, if you knew who it was speaking to you, you would ask him and he'd give you living water. And so what we have to do is explain to them that their greatest fear, that Goliath, that haunting fear of death, that grim reaper, has been conquered by Jesus Christ. He has abolished death and brought life and immortality light through the gospel. So that's my great confidence. The sinner wants to live. God has placed eternity on his heart, and his cry in his inner heart is, oh, I don't want to die. The second confidence is the knowledge of sin. He has a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. So when I talk to a sinner, doesn't matter who they are, I know they have a knowledge of right and wrong because God has taken the time to write his law upon their heart. So every sinner, doesn't matter what they're into, what they believe, what they don't believe, has that impartial judge on the courtroom of the mind saying it is wrong to lie, to steal, to commit adultery, blaspheme, to murder. That law is written upon their heart. So when I bring up those 10 commandments as Jesus did in Mark 10, verse 17, and say, do you think you're a good person? And they say, yes. And I say, well, let's go to the commandments and see if you are. When I go through those commandments, their conscience bears witness with the truth of what I'm saying. And they'll begin to nod, and it brings the knowledge of sin. So again, they're my two confidences. One, this person, doesn't matter who they are, have a will to live. And if he or she knew what I had, they would listen. So it's an inroad. And the second confidence is that I have an impartial judge on the courtroom of the mind, that conscience, the word conscience means with knowledge. I know that they know right from wrong. They're not a dog, cat, horse, or a cow. They've been made in the image of God, and God's given light to every man.
Thanks for joining us for Homeschool Insights. For more great homeschool inspiration and resources, listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And be sure to watch the film Schoolhouse Rocked: The Homeschool Revolution.